guys who are pretty fresh, so take that any way you want. Well, I am so glad that you are here. Young people obviously are headed for their young people fun. We are here for our seasoned fun. This is the season of fun. Might as well be, right? We're going to begin today in the Old Testament, a little bit of prophecy. I don't know about you, but I do know that a lot of people get discouraged by what's taking place in our world today. A lot of people think that you know, the world is going to heck in a handbasket, and that all we can do is hunker down and just hope we make it till Jesus returns. Well, I'm hoping that this message will give you a little bit of insight and inspiration and excitement for what is coming. So we're going to begin in Ezekiel chapter 17, verse 22, and we'll read 23 as well. And it says this, "Thus says the Lord God, I will take also one of the highest branches of the high cedar and set it out. I will crop off from the topmost of its young twigs a tender one, and will plant it on a high and prominent mountain. On the mountain height of Israel, I will plant it, and it will bring forth boughs and bear fruit and be a majestic cedar until it will, or under it will dwell birds of every sort. In the shadow of its branches, they will dwell." Now, this scripture is talking about Jesus. Let's just make that clear right off the bat. Jesus is the substance behind the Old Testament shadows, right? We know that the New Testament tells us the Old Testament is full of types and shadows. The Old Testament prophets dealt with a shadowy world. They saw things as though through a glass darkly. Now, behind those shadows, there is a figure, right? The light of heaven shining on that figure is what is casting the shadow that we see in the Old Testament, and that figure is our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 2:17 pretty much says that. Now, the bottom line is that every good thing that God has for us is in Christ. Say amen. I'm glad you agree. Every good thing that God has for us is in Christ. Ephesians 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Every spiritual blessing, everything that you need that God has in store for you, His goodness, His grace, His salvation, His healing, it's all coming through Christ. Now, you can find Jesus throughout the entire Bible, not just in the New Testament. In fact, if you don't find Jesus in the Old Testament will be completely dead to you. It'll just be boring. It'll be dry. It'll be rules. It'll be regulations. It'll just be endless genealogies. There will be no life in it if you can't see Jesus in the Old Testament scriptures. Jesus said, "If you believe in God, believe also in me." You see, Jesus gives God definition. You can ask someone, "Do you believe in God?" And of course, most will say, "Sure, I believe in God." But honestly, on its own, that really doesn't mean a whole lot. Almost everyone believes in God. Muslims believe in God. The Hindus believe in God. All the religions of the world believe in God or some God or gods, right? And even those that don't profess any real religious affiliation will tell you, most of them will tell you they believe in God. Well, it's not enough to say, "I believe in God." Jesus said, "Nobody can come to God except by me." This scripture that we're looking at tonight, it's talking about Jesus. And we're going to look at it again. But first, let's pray. Father, I thank you for all that the Old Testament reveals of Jesus Christ and your goodness. Lord, I thank you that we have the Old Testament, that we honor and cherish the Old Testament and the prophecies therein. And Lord, as we look at this specific prophecy and others, I pray that you help us to gain a new sense of the importance of what you are doing on the earth today and the church that you are establishing. And Lord, I pray that you would inspire us to do as Amy said, to take this message, to reach the world, to be bold and to share with others what you have for us and for them. And Lord, I pray that this message will be not just an interesting thought exercise, but that it will bring about a change in heart and mind. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, I'm going to read this again. Ezekiel 17, verses 22 and 23. Thus says the Lord God. Now, think of Jesus, right? We're reading about Jesus here. I will take also one of the highest branches of the high cedar and set it out. I will crop off from the topmost of its young twigs a tender one and will plant it on a high and prominent mountain. On the mountain height of Israel, I will plant it, and it will bring forth boughs and bear fruit and be a majestic cedar. Under it will dwell birds of every sort. In the shadow of its branches, they will dwell. This is one of several prophetic scriptures that talk about Jesus being a branch. Isaiah and Jeremiah, they both talked about Jesus being a branch, and so did Zechariah. Cedar branches are symbolic of the rulers of the Davidic throne. Now, what was accomplished in the restoration under Zerubbabel was the fulfillment of this promise, actually this promise. But is often the case in biblical prophecy, the greater fulfillment is still to come in the reign of the Savior King. The establishment of the cedar twig, the Messiah, will make the nation fruitful and majestic, and there will be a diversity of people, there will be unity, and there will be harmony. It says all the trees of the field, it talks about that. It means all nations will realize that the Lord is their sovereign God, and what he has accomplished and what he said he will do. If we look at Isaiah 11, let's go there. Isaiah 11, starting in verse 1. It says, there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch, there's that word, and a branch shall grow out of its roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rods of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Could this be speaking about anybody but Jesus? Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. This branch, this Christ branch, will branch out and will establish a whole new kind of humanity. And we know it's stated in the New Testament, if any man is in Christ, that man is connected to the Christ tree. Anyone in Christ is a new species, a new being. You don't just get a new destination when you get saved. You become a new creature. Hallelujah. I am glad. In fact, just a little note. I found out yesterday I had a cousin who passed away. 2 years older than me, and he was a very bad person. I mean, a very bad person. I told my wife, if anybody ever shows up at our door and says, I'm your cousin, and I gave the name, I don't want to mention it yet because he's not even buried. But if they identify themselves as this person, slam the door, lock it, and go for the guns. I'm telling you, this is the kind of person that he was. But I found out, because of his passing away, that 10 years ago he got saved. 10 years ago he got saved. And his pastor said that he would every week be serving to help feed the homeless in the ministries that they had. He didn't just come to Jesus and have a moment of sorrow and regret for the past life. He had a whole new life bestowed upon him. And I can claim the same thing. I'm not living the same life I lived before. I am a new creature. And you, if you have been born again, you have that same testimony. When we connect with Christ, when we become part of that branch, we become new creatures. Back to Ezekiel 17. I'm going to keep going over this. The Lord says, I will take also one of the highest branches of the high cedar and set it out. Now, when it says one of the highest branches, you'll notice, I don't know if you've got that up on the screen. When it says one of the highest branches, that one, at least in my Bible, I'm reading from the New King James. And you are not. Oh, there it is. In my Bible, the word one there is in italics. Might be in your Bible too. That means that it was a word added by the translators to try and give context to what was being translated here. But if you take that out, basically what it is saying is, and the King James Version translates it this way, I will also take of the highest branch of the cedar. In other words, that one highest branch, not one of the highest, but the one highest branch. The cedar, again, is a symbol of the nation of Israel. Jesus is the highest branch of the high cedar. No human, no one on this earth is higher than Jesus. So he's going to take one of the highest branches of the high cedar and set it out. Where it says, and set it out, that phrase is actually just one word in the Hebrew. That word is Nathan, and that word means to give or to be given. In other words, God says, I'm going to take the highest branch of the high cedar and give it. And God gave his son. God gave his son. Reading on, I will crop off from the topmost of its young twigs a tender one and will plant it on a high and prominent mountain. And that reminds me of Isaiah 52, where it says, he shall grow up before him as a tender plant. Jesus is the tender one, a tender plant as a root out of a dry ground. Where was the tender plant planted? On Mount Calvary. Mount Calvary may not seem like a high, prominent mountain in the natural, but it sure is in the spiritual. It doesn't get any higher in the spiritual. And this tender plant was planted there. Now, kind of referring back to some of the messages I've preached just recently, why would you plant something? Let me help you. To get a harvest, right? To get more of what you planted. That's why you would plant it. And again, I've referred to this in previous messages. How many sons did God have when Jesus came in human form? He had one, his only begotten son. And God planted him. And he gave him that we might be born, that he might get more sons and daughters. Hallelujah. Verse 23. on the mountain height of Israel, I will plant it. And it will bring forth boughs and bear fruit and be a majestic cedar. Jesus on a cross was planted on Calvary's hill. And from that shoot out of dry ground, branches began to grow. And that's how God establishes his kingdom on the earth. These branches go out from that majestic cedar. Reading on. From the majestic cedar. Under it will dwell birds of every sort. In the shadow of its branches, they will dwell. The birds of every sort represents all kinds of people. King James Version translates it as birds of every wing. We would say in our modern day language, birds of every feather, you know, birds of a feather flock together. It simply means that all kinds of people of every description, no matter how you classify them, whether by tribes or whether by language or whether by skin tone or whether by nationality or social structures, people of every kind are gathered in the shadow of the branches of this majestic cedar. There is where they find home. Remember, this majestic cedar was originally the highest branch, but it was plucked from its height, that height of majesty, and it was stuck into a prominent mountain called Calvary, but the life of God was still in it. And from that old rugged cross sprouted boughs and branches that spread throughout the world. Hallelujah. It's the kingdom of God, and the people of every kind are gathering under its shadow. Jesus laid his life down as a seed. That seed sprouted, and it has grown, and it has spread its branches around the world. And you're part of that. Jesus talked about this very thing himself, you know. In case you think I'm just coming up with some fanciful interpretation of this Old Testament prophecy, let's go look at the Gospel of Mark. Now we're going from the shadow to the substance, right? From the prophecy to the person that was prophesied. Here in Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 30. Then he said, Jesus said this, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed, which when it is sown on the ground is smaller than all the seeds on earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. Now that word shade, that's an interesting word. It's actually the same word for shadow. In fact, the Greek word that's translated there as shade is used in the New Testament 7 separate times, and it is always translated as shadow except here. And again, the New King James Version actually does translate it as shadow every time. So we could say that the birds of the air may nest under its shadow. Now, this is a great parable. It assures us that the church is going to prevail. Hallelujah. The church is going to prevail. No matter what you thought was happening in the world, the church is going to prevail. Jesus is the mustard seed. And it may not seem like it's happening yet, but you know, from that tiny seed, it will happen. The church will prevail. Don't ever despise a small beginning. You see, if you despise a small beginning, you just don't get it. Because that's the way that God seems to do everything. He starts with something small. He begins with small things, a tender twig, a root out of dry ground, a mustard seed. With one son, he starts. When he wanted billions of sons and daughters, he started with one. The whole kingdom operates on the mustard seed principle. Begin small, Use what you've got, plant it, and it will grow. It will grow. And the kingdom tree is growing and expanding, growing with a multitude of souls being saved each and every day. The tiny mustard seed is generating fruit. We are winning, and we are going to win. You need to say that to yourself probably at least once a day. We are winning. By that, I mean the kingdom of God. We are winning, and we are going to win. Don't let your eyes be distracted by what the world says or what the world tells you. We are winning, and we are going to win. It's a matter of faith. I believe God. I believe His word. We are winning, and we are going to win. Now understand that the believers are the boughs and the branches that belong to the tree of Christ, right? We are to cast a shadow of blessing over those who come into our midst. Where it says here, so that the birds of the air may nest under its shadow. Hallelujah. Ezekiel prophesied about it. Jesus reworded it here in the Gospel of Mark. And in the book of Acts, I believe we actually see the fulfillment. Turn to Acts chapter 5. And as you're going there, I'm gonna read this again. Thus says the Lord God. I'm reading from Ezekiel here. I will take also one of the highest branches of the high cedar and set it out. I will crop off from the topmost of its young twigs a tender one and will plant it on a high and prominent mountain. On the mountain height of Israel, I will plant it, and it will bring forth boughs and bear fruit and be a majestic cedar. Under it will dwell birds of every sort. In the shadow of its branches, they will dwell. And then Jesus said here in Mark, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? It's like a mustard seed, which when it is sown on the ground is smaller than all the seeds of the earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and it becomes greater than all herbs and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shadow. Catching the theme here, Acts chapter 5, starting in verse 14. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord. The branches are growing, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Think about that. The shadow. Also, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Does this miracle power of Peter's shadow make a little more sense now? I mean, see, it's always been kind of a mystery. Some people have said that the anointing was so strong on Peter that just his shadow would heal people. But I don't know. But it just didn't quite sit strong in me. I mean, why was there power in Peter's shadow? Miracle power in his shadow. But now when we tie it with Ezekiel chapter 17, verse 22, and Mark 4, verse 32, well, you can begin to see something. You can begin to see the book of Acts, church, that's the first sprout of the church from its mustard seed beginning. And Peter, as the chief apostle, is representing the church. And Peter's shadow represents the shadow of the church. That is the tree that grew from the cross. And the birds coming to dwell in the shadow of the Christ tree. That's the church. Now listen. Everyone needs to develop their own faith and shoot out their own branches. But if you're weak in faith, you can come in and you can get blessed under the shadow of our faith. If you're not feeling so strong in your faith, you come and be a part of this church. You come and rest in the shadow that this church, the boughs that have grown from this church, the shadow that it's casting. We make a place for the little birds to come in. Come in from the world and be blessed under the shadow of our faith. Those that are struggling with life, those that are having a difficult time just finding their bearings, those that are just lost as the day is long, maybe full of sin, maybe full of sorrow, maybe ready to commit suicide, they can come into the church. They should. The little birds should be able to come and rest in the shadow of the church and receive from the church blessing and healing. Literally, it says in this scripture, they were all being healed. You know, sometimes healing is a process. Sometimes it seems to happen immediately, and sometimes it happens after a while. It can be a process, and that's okay. I don't mind the process as long as we end up in the right location, right? The path might be a little different for some, but as long as we end up at the same destination where healing is manifested, then hallelujah. They were all being healed, it says here in Acts chapter 5. They were all being healed. The church is to be a place of healing. It should be a place of deliverance. And I tell you, God is wanting to do this at Visible Church. Pastor Ben has been preparing the soil here for healing and for deliverance and for blessing with the messages that he's been preaching these last few Sundays. It's just been great. God is wanting the birds to begin to gather here, to dwell. You know, people should be finding their spiritual home here. You need a spiritual home. Without a spiritual home, you're just a vagabond. You have no place. You're wandering aimlessly. Proverbs 27:8 says, like a bird that wanders from its nest is a man who wanders from his place. The birds should come. They should find rest. They should find peace in the shadow. They should make their home here. When God puts you in a church, you need to stay there. I know that's going to be a little controversial for some folks. When God puts you in a church, you need to stay there or you'll be in the wrong place. You'll miss out on what God is wanting to do. And I have seen people that have left their place. And I hurt for them because I know what they're missing out on. I know that God wants to do something. And sometimes they can't see it. Occasionally, someone actually leaves for a good purpose. I say occasionally because most times when people do leave, it's not for the right purpose. And I'll just be honest with you. Sometimes you need, even if you're not feeling quite right, you need to stick it out. We don't need to wander. We need to settle down. We need to settle in and come into covenant and learn how to dwell together as people of God in a community of grace. More grace is needed. A lot more grace is needed if you're going to stay and stick it out. You don't need a whole lot of grace to say, nah, I'm done with that. Okay, maybe I'm being too honest. Again, verse 16. Also, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. I tell you, that's going to happen in greater measure. Amen. That is going to happen as more people come and as we grow, we'll cast a bigger shadow. More places for the birds to rest and be blessed. The whole thing called the church, and not just us, not just this little group, I'm talking the church worldwide, the whole thing is growing. It is growing. The boughs and the branches, they are spreading out. And the shadow, oh man, in the shadow, excuse me, need this. in the shadow, there's healing and deliverance, and there's blessing, and there's provision, and there's security, and there is sweet fellowship in the shadow of the branches. This whole thing, it's what it's all about. And again, remember, don't despise small beginnings. Don't despise small things. Every great work I know of began as a small seed. You know, just a twig, just a root out of dry ground. Every great work starts as a small thing. And, you know, and this church started smaller than it is right now. And it's kind of getting tough, like on a good Sunday morning, to fit everybody in. It's time to stretch out a little more, right? Grow a little more. We're developing roots right now. So if you see this as a small church, just understand, we're developing roots right now. Even this small group tonight, you guys are roots. The Wednesday night crowd, you guys are the roots, right? You are the roots. The roots will support the tree as it grows. That's an important function. We need roots. We need strong roots. The roots keep it firm when the storm winds blow. So keep developing your roots. Get deeper. Get rooted deeper. We need strong roots. That way we don't have to compromise. Amen? I hope that you get a sense of what is happening in the world today, how the prophecies of the Old Testament are pointing us to the very truth and reality of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we, his body, begin to do the work that he's called us to do, as we allow his life to grow in us and we become even larger and greater branches, as that happens, more and more people will be reached. More and more birds have a place to rest. More ministry will take place. More healing. More fellowship. I'm looking forward to it. I'm not at all disappointed in the Church of Jesus Christ. I've been disappointed in some groups, but not in the Church Jesus Christ is truly leading. You're part of that group. Let's continue on in faith, knowing that we are winning and we will win. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, you wonderful roots, thank you for being planted here in this place tonight, coming to be a part of our worship service and the message. I hope that if you have a need, if you're one of those birds that are resting here and you need prayer, by all means, come on up. I'll be happy to pray with you. Many of the people in this front row would be more than happy to pray with you and others throughout the room. So, my message is done. I hope it gives you something to think about the next few days. And we'll see you, if nothing else, Sunday morning here at church. All right? We have a special thing going because it's graduation Sunday. We're going to be honoring those who are graduating high school. So we'll see you then. God bless you.